Welcome to the new season of the Live Your Spa Life Show. The Spa and Spa Life stands for Seek Power Always, that divine power within you to do what you're here to do. The theme for this season is intentional living. Amazing people like you share ways to live by design and with purpose to ensure that this short ride of life occurs with choice, physically, financially, spiritually, and in your relationships to create a world-class life. In these times of uncertainty, it's time for you to move past the distractions and start trusting yourself more through your God-given knowingness. No one truly knows better what's best for you than you. In this season, you'll have plenty of examples of people choosing their best life and creating a positive impact through intentional living. Thank you for sharing your precious time with us and being part of the Live Your Spa Life conversation. With us today is Dr. Catherine Bruce, a martial artist and movement specialist who helps strengthen the minds and bodies of her students and clients. She uses science, physical movement, and mindset strategies and the study of martial arts and exercise to help her students realize they're capable of doing things they want, making the changes they didn't think were possible, they're capable of more than they previously thought, and the limits they may have set for themselves don't need to hold them back any longer. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here. Thanks, Diane.
So what led you into using martial arts as one of your methods?
Well, it's actually quite interesting. I think when I was young, as most people do, they have a history and a story. And mine led me to probably a little bit more destructive outlets when I was young, and I just didn't know how to deal with life, essentially. And so all the classic escapisms that, you know, kids do, and this was by my early 20s. I was always very good at school though, so that was quite a saving grace for me. But then it just wasn't handling life very well and wasn't very healthy, was doing a lot of things, recreational things that were not too good for myself either. And then it just happened that I, through a friend of a friend, ended up coming to the martial arts school that I train at now. And it just kind of transformed everything for me. It allowed me a safe space to be. There was the physical outlet as well, but more importantly, it was a lot about the mind and how I was not really using mine in the best way. And so I learned a lot of strategies on how to sort of transform myself from the victim mindset, I suppose you could call it, that I was, to become a lot more stronger, a lot more centered, a lot more respectful and caring and loving of my own self. And plus it just helped strengthen me in a way that I didn't realize I could be. So it was, that's now 23 years ago. So it's been quite a journey since then.
Right. You mentioned the victim aspect of it. So how did you come to recognize that, you know, what your power was and how you were able to transform out of being a victim and into being a victor?
Well, I think one of the things that always fascinated me about the martial arts, like right from when I was young, was that ability to be strong. And I was in a situation where I didn't know how to handle myself. I didn't know what to do. And I sort of came to the realization that I wanted to be strong, and I never wanted to be weak again. I never wanted to be in a situation where I didn't know how to handle myself. And so from there, it kind of then started just continuing. And then because I was going down a very different path. I was actually, my background is more medical. So I'm a scientist. So I was going down that path. pretty directed and focused for a long time. And then when I started learning a lot more about health and about how the martial arts is not just the physicality of it, but it's really an inside out journey. And so everything about me started to change from the study of the martial arts. And so from there, it was really that transformation, I think, from becoming what I considered probably a little bit more of a weaker female. I wanted to just own my own life a little bit more, not be directed by other people's opinions and what other people thought of me, and just to really be strong in who I was. And so when I started the martial arts, it transformed that, and it answered a lot of questions for me. And so then I decided to pretty much change the whole of my life's direction to continue doing this, and then help others find that journey for themselves as well.
So great. Yeah, I think it should be like required just worldwide that children have some form of martial arts, because it's such a beautiful discipline that not only do you learn how to protect yourself, but there's a lot of respect in it. There's a lot of, you know, honing your mind and honing your skills. And, you know, I think contrary to, you know, some beliefs where it's like, oh, you know, people would get in more fights, I think actually the opposite happens. I think when you actually know how to take care of yourself and you carry yourself with confidence and know how, I think you can rely more on your verbal skills, and you can actually come from a place, because you know you can take care of business if you have to, but, you know, knowing how you can shift that. And, you know, I learned part of that lesson, you know, when I was in the police department. I was the only woman on my squad for many years. And so you've got people who had a lot of military background, who had a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And so I really learned that, yes, hone your physical skills, know that know-how, but the verbal skills, you know, really is a good kind of marriage together, to be able to have those things together so you can really, you know, have the best of both worlds in that.
I definitely agree with you with that. I constantly say it because we actually start our classes from 4 years old. And I can remember we used to do a number of holiday programs. And so we'd take children out into the community, and people would be constantly saying to us, oh my goodness, your children are so polite. They're so respectful. They speak to you so well. They listen to you. And I'm like, yeah, because they're martial artists. Like, because that's part of what we do. And it's almost a lost art. I think that ability to really, you know, be respectful, be kind, in many ways, just because it's not educated always as a important, and we teach right from the very beginning the respect. But I think it's, you know, it definitely comes for yourself first, and if you don't have that, it's really hard to give it. So, you know, when you are training and when you are putting in the effort for yourself, it's then easier to give it to other people. And so then it's not just a verbal practice, if you like. It becomes who you are. So you are like that with everyone. And I think one of the most beautiful things about the martial arts, because you train, as I was saying, you train so diligently and you do so much work on yourself that the ego is not there as much. So when people, you know, you're so focused on being your best and helping others be their best, that you focus on different things. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, and the biggest change for me was I'm so focused now on being of service and how can I help people, that it's now not something that for me, I focus on different things. So that's, yeah, it's one of those things I think helps a massive amount, because your filters and your focus transform when you are living a life of service for others.
So good. You know, I love that distinction about, you know, what we create within ourselves and then choosing what we're going to be doing out in the world. And I think if anything, particularly over the last several years of, you know, there was so many like messages that were mixed messages, especially, you know, things like media, you know, causing people fear. And there's it's like a runaway train with all of that. And there was so much like outside noise that I think a lot of people didn't take a moment and go, is this true for me, right? Is this how I want to have health? Is this like asking these deep questions about, you know, things that we've known for millennia about sleep and exercise and how we connect with people and just some basic things. I think sometimes people just kind of threw it out the window and then they get into a state of confusion. So I'd love for you to talk about, you know, you've been in places in your life where you have felt a state of confusion because you were listening more to outside voices. You know, always that people who think they know better than you, or you should be doing that. And that can be a real big conflict between the outside authority voices, whether it's in your home or media or government or any of those type of things, versus our own internal knowing. So how did you maneuver through that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think many people are living that, because I suppose society for the for the biggest part, then tells us what we should be wanting, how we should be living, what we should be striving for. And I think deep down, many of us know, hang on, that just doesn't, it doesn't feel that right for me just to be striving for, you know, money. Not to say that it's not a good thing to have, but I think if you are just striving for a lot of these things, people's opinions, you know, one day you're going to have somebody liking what you say, the next day you're not. So if you can get off that roller coaster, and really, I think just sit with yourself a little bit. And I don't think people do enough of that. And that, for me, the martial arts helped with that, because you do need to be very present. And I think that's what a lot of people are not these days. They're not present with themselves. There's so much going on that they don't take any time just to reflect on, do I like myself? Do I like what I'm doing? You know, do I feel fulfilled doing what I'm doing? When I often ask myself, when I'm on my deathbed, will I look back and have regrets? Will I go, oh, I should have been doing this, or I should have been doing that, or I wish I had have done this? And for me, I'm very fortunate, because I feel I'm living a life of service in the way that I want. And I feel that was a big question that I allowed other people, because for a long time I lived my life where other people's opinions of me were more important than my opinion of myself, because I didn't have a very good or strong sense of self. My esteem was not very high. And so when I was younger, I used friends to help me feel better about myself. I put myself in situations that were not, you know, peer group pressure situations that deep down I knew were not the right thing for me, just because I needed people to like me, because I didn't like myself enough. And when you start to go down a road where you're doing things, small things every day, keeping promises, you know, to yourself every day, you're building up that trust, you're building up that confidence, you're building up that self-love and respect for yourself. And that's where it starts to transform. And then you can kind of go, you know, what I was doing maybe wasn't the right thing for me, and this is what I want to do. And then you need to surround yourself with people that are going to be supportive of that. And so I changed a lot of the friends groups that I had, and, you know, I listened to different voices and different people that I wanted to be more like. And I think that's really important as well, because we sometimes think I need to be in these relationships or these friendships just because I've been in them for so long. And that might not necessarily be true anymore if your life is not going in the same direction. And that's okay. And so I think that was a big thing for me, was I started to listen and trust myself more. And then I knew what I wanted to be and how I wanted to give, how I wanted to connect, and how I wanted to serve. And it was okay to be different than what maybe I had firmly set in my mind, from, because I had in my mind when I was really young, I wanted to be this way, I wanted to do this. And then sometimes you can go down a path just because you make these commitments in that way when you were younger, but you change, life changes. And I think that's an important thing, to be able to give yourself the grace to change, to give yourself and be kind to yourself, and just really start to reflect and look at yourself as being worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us don't do enough of that, because we've been conditioned to wait for other people to do it for us, to tell me I'm good, so I'm good. And it's just not true, right? Because there's nobody else. There's no other me. There's no other you on this world, like completely and utterly unique. Like every single one of us is a miracle, and we have something unique to offer. And I think it's sad when we don't recognize that. So I love being in a role where we help from really young to really old, just to give a better appreciation of, you know, the amazingness that you as an individual are. You don't have to be anything, do anything, just because you're you and you are here in this experience, you are worthwhile. And I think if that foundation we all started a little bit more with, you know, we would be kinder, we would connect at a different level, we would appreciate other people more, because everybody has something different, everybody's experiences, you know, make them uniquely able to contribute something. So I love people. I love listening to them, and I love being around them, and I love in whatever way I can helping them. So it's quite cool the role I'm in.
So great. You know, I've noticed that people who are in like martial arts, they have a different relationship to fear, you know, and so it's almost like you get to kind of look at your fears in the face and decide like how you're going to operate. And it's almost like you can be in slow motion with it, if that makes sense. And you can kind of like see more of like, a lot of times it's referred to as being able to see around corners, like being able to kind of see things coming because you notice things in a different way. What are some of the strategies that you utilize to help move through fear?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think it's really interesting. And the place where I work is called the Challenge Center. So Challenge Martial Arts and Fitness. And I love that it's called that because the challenges are what make us better. And I have a lot of fears. I've one of those ones though that I, you know, challenge them. I was always on the crazy scary rides, did the skydiving, did all of those sorts of things when I was a little bit younger as well, just because that kind of putting yourself or choosing to put yourself in uncomfortability and doing things that you maybe don't necessarily want to do, but you know that they will be good for you. but you're choosing them. I think that helps you handle a lot more of life. And you said something about awareness. You mentioned awareness. And I think that's a really massive part of a martial artist. And I remember very early in the training, my chief instructor was saying that when you're driving, notice, or when you're walking, just notice things. Notice things about yourself or around you. You know, notice that person. Where are they now? That car that you saw, that white one, follow it. Where is it now? And I can't help but now, wherever I am, be aware. And that was something that I didn't have when I was in my early 20s. That got, you know, it can get you into trouble because you just think you're very blasé. You walk down and, you know, you're not aware of anything around you. You're not aware of anyone around you. And I think that's a really powerful thing, because the more awareness you have, then the more aware you're not putting yourself in potentially dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect of it, the awareness. But then I think there's also obviously a different, if it's a life-threatening and somebody's in your face and going to attack you, but most of the fears that we have are not that. Most of the fears are things that we've just either accrued through life experiences, things that happened to us when we were young. Sometimes we don't even know why we have that fear and it's irrational. And those are the ones I think that if you can start looking at those differently, that this is not necessarily real. And a lot of times it's logic. You know, you can logic, am I going to die? Is this something that's really going to hurt me? No, it's just a little bit uncomfortable. And then other times it's now, I'm afraid of this, but this is actually the thing that I need to help me. This is presented to me in this way at this time to help me grow. And that's one of the things that I've always loved about the martial arts, is it does really help you challenge those limits, that the limits are things that, and fears, they are there to help me. I've drawn them to me to help me become stronger in the way that I need. Because I think all of the challenges that we have as well are uniquely ours. Like nobody has the same challenges that I have because nobody's had the same experiences. So that challenge that I'm experiencing right now is mine, and it's mine for a reason. And I think that once you look at it in that way, you go, okay, so now on the other side of this fear, on the other side of this challenge, on the other side of this limit, that's where my growth is. That's the real purpose of this. And so if you can start to transform, I think a little bit of, you know, especially if they're, as I was saying, not, you know, not life-threatening ones, which most of the fears, as I said, we have are not, then I think that you're actually utilizing those to help springboard you to a bigger, stronger, greater self. So that's how I use them, or try to. I'm still working it always myself. So. Right.
Well, and I love that distinction, you know, about seeing like what is actually there for us, right? And, you know, if something is given to us as a particular challenge, we want to embrace that because that is actually for us, and making that decision versus, oh, woe is me, this bad thing happened. Well, if you actually looked at it as, why is this here for me? Why is it presenting itself at this time? What am I to learn from this? And, you know, how do you grow from the state that you're in right now? Then you start looking at fears differently. You start looking at challenges differently. You look at different things in a bigger perspective. And on the flip side of that, you know, you've mentioned to me about, you know, when you've stood in your power and you have felt that when you've been like in a flow state. So how do you get into that flow state?
You know, I was thinking about that as well when we were speaking about that. It's, I think when you are so focused only on yourself, and you are thinking about how I look, how am I coming across, there is no flow. When you are really, and I think the biggest times where I've felt like time has just flown and I'm like, whoa, you know, where did that go? Or, you know, the experience has been so impactful, or, you know, you just get the energy. It's whenever I've been in service of others. It's when I've been teaching a class and I'm so, so passionate about wanting to help them get it, wanting to help them grow. When it's been, you know, you're working hard, but you're doing it in front of a class and you need to go through this because people are watching you and getting inspiration from you, you get the energy somehow. And I think those are the biggest times whenever I've felt like the most amount of flow or in the zone, if you like. And sometimes when it's been, you know, the training, a lot of times when you're in my classes, when I'm training for myself, because I'm so involved in and present, like I was saying before, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm completely in the moment. I'm completely where I am right now. And then you just flow because you haven't got your energy on all of these other things that don't matter, right? I'm, you know, not thinking about bills or what I've got to do, or, you know, that conversation I had before. I'm like right here. And when you're right present, and I think when you're so involved and of service to others as well, like teaching, or in a conversation with somebody, and you're really present with that, that's when you're in the most flow. Mm. Well, that's when I'm in the most flow.
Yeah. Well, I believe like flow states can show up in so many different ways. And I love that's like the mental aspect of it. There's like the beingness of it. But I also think our space, like the space that we create, allows us to feel certain things, you know, depending on how we set it up. So like we live differently in our bedroom versus our office or our kitchen. So what's your favorite room in your home and why?
It would be my bedroom. Because it's like my relaxation space at the end of the day. It's, you know, it's where I spend like my most recovery time, being when I'm sleeping. And I try to keep it as simplified as possible. I try to keep everywhere as simplified as possible, to be honest, because I can tell when things are getting a little bit out of control by a little bit of extra things that pop up. Or, you know, that scarf at the end of the bed that's usually put away, or, you know, things like that, that, you know, a little bit of, what is it, clutter, a little bit of things start popping up. And so those are the things that you kind of go, aha, what's going on? You know, and so it's the nicest place for me. I don't spend a lot of time at home, to be perfectly honest, because I'm usually out like early with clients and then training and things pretty late. So in terms of the house, that would probably be it. But I like to spend time just sitting outside. Like I try to spend, you know, a little bit of time in the mornings, early mornings, just sitting outside and, you know, with the sun and just taking some time to just be, breathe, and not have to be anywhere, do anything, read anything. And so that's probably my favorite time when I get to do that.
I love it. So what's one thing that people would be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, I suppose I probably don't talk about it as much now, but I have quite a strong background in science. I don't talk about it a lot in the present state where I am, but I actually did my doctorate and have a number of scientific journal articles that I don't I don't probably even talk about anymore, but that was kind of, it kind of is almost like a previous life for me now. So because I'm so involved and invested in what I do now, but sometimes you forget that that was an aspect of what I did, being in the lab, being out and doing that aspect of it as well. So that probably is more when people go, oh, because sometimes they'll see the doctor in front of my name and they go, oh, you're a doctor, what do you do? And so that's kind of like a surprise for them, because I'm, you know, I consider what I do now preventative medicine. So when people ask me what it is that I do, I you know, I'll often say I work in preventative medicine sometimes, because that's pretty much what it is now. Mm-hmm. Because so much of, I suppose, don't get me wrong, there's such a value in all of that, the research and, you know, investment in cures and things. But I think that for me, the lifestyle, the mindset, the movement is all so that we don't end up getting sick. And I think that there is such an inherent power within us to heal when we can get out of our get out of our own way.
Yes.
And so yeah, that's probably the thing that kind of gets a lot of the clients and things now, is that they go, oh, what was that in? What do you do? And I'm like, well, that was what I used to do. That's probably it.
Well, it's such a great distinction, because I think that, you know, the world that we are in today is such a, like, throw a pill at it kind of thing, versus looking at the ancient old things about sleep and exercise and, you know, good nutrition and just, like, you know, let food be thy medicine, right? We sometimes forget some of these basic things because, you know, people just want to get out of pain, so they're doing the quick fix, versus looking at how does the body heal itself? You know, are we looking at the mental, emotional, you know, aspects of it, as well as the physical? It's all of it, right? It's looking at the totality of all of that. And because we show up in so many different ways, you know, in our training and life and all that, you know, sometimes people look at things that we do in a different way. In fact, like, what would your family say you actually do for a living if you ask them?
Yeah, they'd probably say I was a martial arts, or, you know, exercise, because I'm an exercise scientist as well. And that, yeah, that's what they would say. They'd say she teaches karate, probably something like that. Break it down, because it's so funny, because there's so many quite different roles and things. And when people ask me, what do you do? I kind of go, well, okay, who am I speaking to? What's the
what know, can you hear?
what would you like about, like, you know? But yeah, that's what they, because my nephews train and I teach them as well. So, you know, it's quite a really cool space in that. And I think if you don't get too caught up in that, because I suppose, you know, it's one of those things that, and that's where early on when I was saying to you about the career-wise, because everybody can have an opinion on what they think is best for you and what you should be doing. And I was getting random people just going, oh my goodness, you've done all of this study and you're going to be like a martial arts instructor. And I'm like, you kind of don't really know what it's about if you're saying things like that, because it's such a different world. And like you were saying, the ancient traditions and the healing and all of that is encompassed when I say martial arts. And when you talk about that, it's not just being able to punch and kick. And actually very rarely unless you're in going out and, you know, doing a lot of things in those worlds, or in, you know, professional fighters, you're probably not actually going to be in many physical confrontations, but the internal fights, that having the discipline to know I'm going to do this, not this, or, you know, those are the things that every day you're faced with. And those are the things that we're not really trained appropriately. I know I certainly wasn't before I started martial arts, which was why I was so challenged with thinking about my life's challenges in a different way, thinking about pain in a different way. All of these things were not good, and I didn't know how to handle what was happening, because I wasn't really taught how to think, and most people are not. You know, there's such an emphasis on read, write, and remember, and I love learning in that way. I'm an academic. I loved that aspect of it, but it is definitely not the be-all and end-all, because you've got two people that have the same qualification, and what's the distinguishing factor between them? It is your attitude. It is how you are. It is how you present. And so what is out there to help us develop that? And I think the martial arts from a young age, like you were saying, if it was in schools, would be amazing mm-hmm. because it really helps you with who you are, how you value yourself, how you present, how you communicate, how you talk to others. I know when I first started, I was not really able to look people in the eyes very well, you know, because I didn't have that confidence and I didn't really truly like myself a lot. I didn't, not so much like that. I didn't see that I had much value. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, it's not a nice place to be and it's not a nice world to live in. And I think that a lot of people are like that now because, you know, we don't have people that go, you know what, you have a lot of value. You have something to offer because we've got to, you know, have this job, be this wealthy, do this, have this car, have all of these things to be something, to be worthwhile. And that's just not, it's not true. And not many people outside of, if you're fortunate, to have parents that will say, I love you, you are amazing. But sometimes we go, there are parents, they've got to do that. But outside of family, who do you have that tells you that? So we always tell our kids in the martial arts, often, you know, you are amazing. You are awesome. You don't have to do anything, say anything, be anything. You are just that already. And so to be a voice to, you know, that's not somebody that's intimately connected in a relationship with you or your parents that, you know, they kind of have to love me. You know, we kind of think that. So have a teacher tell you that you have worth and you have value just because you are you. Imagine if everybody had that from the moment that they were young and you were raised to think that you had that, and then whatever you did from there came from that foundation. Yeah. It would, yeah. So, you know, to be involved in, yeah, massive. So to be involved in that for kids, and also not just kids, but there's no limit to what you can do once you use the mind and to change it. So no matter what age you are, I think we get into this idea that I am older, so I can't change. It's not true. Like I see it all the time, and I see it from, you know, from females that have maybe come, I'm very passionate about females strengthening as well, because obviously I was one that was not very strong and then transformed myself in that way. So to help females especially as well that have come from maybe abuse or come from, you know, situations where they've been beaten down a little bit mentally, physically, or emotionally, to just help them understand that they do have more, that we all have more inside us. Mm. And we all have something that we can uniquely contribute to this world. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. And that's a really powerful message that I don't think has any age limit to it. And so whatever age you are, wherever you are, like we get people, when I started, I was 22, almost 23. And at the same time, there was a lady who started when she was 50. She's still going. Right? So there's no limit, not that that's old, obviously, but we get people that are starting now in their 70 too. So there's really, you know, you can do anything. Not you can do anything, but you can always do something. I think wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever state, and I love that because I got told one time and it really stayed with me that where there's a heartbeat, there's hope. So if you've still got a heartbeat, there's hope and there's something that you can do to improve whatever situation you're in. You just need to listen to, I think, the right voices and surround yourself with the right kind of uplifting messages. And be careful, as I was saying, who you listen to, because I know being coming from that other side of the medical world, it's very easy to listen to a voice that says, you only have this amount of time left. You've got this expiration. And I know people that have been in that situation that they've gone, no thanks. I'm not listening to that voice.
Yes.
And they've changed everything about themselves and they've come back from cancer and they've come back from these situations where they had a voice that told them, that's it. Mm-hmm. I know personally somebody, you're not going to see Christmas. So I think you really need to pay attention to who you are with, to what voices that you're listening to, and just make sure that they're in line with how you want to be. And are they strengthening you? Are they going to empower you? Are they going to help you to be better? And I think that's a really important factor in your success as well. And I'm constantly like, you know, obviously still got my mentors and still got my coach and still got that, and constantly looking for that for myself, so that I can, I suppose, be a better coach and mentor and instructor for the people that I work with as well.
So great. Well, thank you, Catherine, so much for just sharing your journey and all of your wisdom. And I know that people are going to want to stay in contact with you. How can they best do that?
Well, I do have LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. In Australia, if you're in Australia, I have the Challenge Martial Arts and Fitness Center. So I have my email, which I've given you my email. And even on WhatsApp, I have, the WhatsApp as well. I'm on there, but I can give all of those details now if you like, or if you
we'll post it in with the show. Yeah, so it'll all be in there for them. So good. Well, as you know, our theme for this season is intentional living. So in what way are you living an intentional life today?
Oh, I love that. So I'm very clear on my mission and what I want to do. And so when I wake up, when I go to bed, I have it written in front of me. I constantly assess the decisions that I make, the choices that I make when it comes to, am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? Is what I'm saying right now in line with helping this person? Is it more my ego? am I really present? And I think that's the biggest thing for me, to make sure that I'm living an intentional life. I'm clear on how I want to serve. And then the decisions that I make come from that.
So good. Awesome. Well, thank you again for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice to speak to you too, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Catherine. And to our listeners out there, you know, have you looked at all the different levels, the different ways in how you are strengthening your mind? Like, are you, you know, challenging your physical body in something like martial arts? You know, are you challenging your mind? Are you really looking at, are you in line with how you want to live your life? These are the kind of things that we want to be able to look at. Catherine and I would be happy to support you in any way that we can. So feel free to reach out to us. And until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now. Bye-bye.